The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience, Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects played throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but the Bible teaches there's a time to laugh. The review of the goofy news which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk love with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy right there. And here is a question that may challenge many of you. Who do we need to reach out to that we haven't reached out to remind them that we still care about them? Who do we need to reach out to that we haven't reached out to that we need to remind them that we still care about them? Wow. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. We would find that to be very, very sad. Instead, we want you to give us a call. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like spending time relaxing and chillaxing.
Aww,
that's nice.
Thank you, David. Happy Thursday. Almost the weekend.
Almost to the weekend there. I suspect that tomorrow we'll have some Jake's take, because we'll get into that a little bit deeper there,
yep.
Right? Yep. Okay, we'll be doing that. Good to have you on board. Good to have you as a part of the show. We love having you. You're doing a phenomenal job. We appreciate you. And we appreciate all the people that the Lord's brought into our lives, into the radio ministry. So everybody be continually praying for all of them. All of them have been a blessing. We are going to also give you the opportunity, by the way, if you want to call, you can also text. That's one of the cool things. You can text live during the show. So let's make sure we understand exactly where we're at, okay? In New York, if you're in New York, it's 2:35. In Dallas, it's 1:35. In San Diego, it's 11:35. In another solar system, they probably don't have a clock, so we won't do much on there. We'll give all three areas your traffic report right now. Ready? There are cars, trucks, buses, and other things on the road. There you go. Yeah, that's a famous traffic report right there. Very, very accurate, by the way.
Took a lot of research.
Yep. Spent a lot of time. I did. I just had to move one finger off of another finger to go, oh, that's good, let's do that. All right, so additionally, besides calling in the 972-445-0770 number, which you're welcome to do throughout the show, you can also text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Non-professional voice now.
214-210-8483.
There you go. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. David, D-A-V-I-D, at the A with the goofy thing around it. He must increase. .org. That is an excellent way to reach us, and we would appreciate it if you do reach us. If you've got a prayer request, if you've got a praise report, if you got something that's going on, we have a lot of things to get to. A lot of changes going to be happening in today's show, so you probably want to just sit tight and kind of walk around with us and see how it goes. First thing we're going to do is go into 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, for those that are kind of keeping track, and we're basically at verse 21, actually the second part of verse 21, because the break probably should have been at this second part, which is okay. Here is what the text says. Paul, making reference to the church at Corinth, telling them, he's a fool. This is what he says. Speaking as a fool, however, I can match what anyone else dares to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am speaking like I am out of my mind, but I am so much more. In hard labor, in more imprisonments, in worse beatings, in frequent dangers of death. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with the rod. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. Wow. First, let's start off with what the Apostle Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, because Paul is using sarcasm. People are like, he's using irony. Wrong. He's using sarcasm, which in the Latin means to cut. And here's what it has to do with. The Apostle Paul takes on the role of being a fool on purpose. To make his point in this letter, he takes the side of a prideful boaster while acknowledging that he's pretty moronic for doing it. He starts with his background by connecting himself to being Hebrew, an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham. He then states that to use this form of logic is utterly ridiculous. And that's what those other people are doing. They're using the same kind of logic he just uses right there, but he goes, that is so dumb. Now, the truth of the matter is that Paul's marks of faith are pretty impressive. And as he gets into this next section, he starts going through some of the things that he went through. He says this, in harder labor, in more imprisonments, in worse beatings, in frequent danger of death, 5 I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one, 3 I was beaten with rods, 1 I was stoned, 3 I was shipwrecked, I spent a night and a day in the open sea. In my frequent journeys, I've been in danger from rivers and from bandits, in danger from my countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at the sea, and among false brothers, in labor and toil, often and without sleep, in hunger and thirst, and often without food, in cold and exposure. So can we just talk about this real quickly? He considers his encounters since taking on the faith that he once tried to destroy. He lists 20 different items that connect him to his background as a person of faith. In labor, imprisonments, beatings, facing death, whipping, beating, stoned, not recreationally, shipwrecked, floating around on the water for 24 hours. I just want to say, I'm not sure many of us would still be preaching and teaching after all these things. Paul encountered the ultimate encounters. Remember, the Lord told him when he got saved and when he got commissioned, I'm going to show you what it's like. And the Lord is always true to his word. He's never unfaithful in what he has to say. So he is showing Paul, and Paul lists these things. And I want you to understand something, that Paul grasps that these things are intense and they're very difficult, but he also grasps that the boasting of these things is ridiculous. So these other apostles who were involved at the Church of Corinth trying to teach the people, they were all like going, well, look at our background. Look at my background. I could do that as a Jewish host on this radio station, on this show. I could just say, look at me. I've got a doctorate. I've got a master's in theology. I've got a bachelor's degree in leadership and Christian ministry. I've got this. I've got this. I've got this. None of that is to boast in. Can I tell you what there is to boast in? I've met Jesus. That's what there's to boast in. I've had an encounter with the Almighty God. He has spoken and changed my life. There is nothing in me that signifies any kind of greatness other than the very things which God has put inside of me. And what God has pulled out of me or thrust upon me. There is no ignorance for any of us or excuse for ignorance that we should be like, I am this, I am this, I am this. So what? You wouldn't be anything without the very breath of God himself. And in fact, if every breath is a gift from God, how is it that we boast? The church needs to get a handle. Now, understand when I say this. The church isn't, oh, the church is lost. It's not lost. It's God's church. It's not lost. But to grow up and be more like Jesus, we need to do a better job and get a better handle on all this stuff. All of this stuff. Even your ability to work a job, your ability to have a relationship, your ability to have friends. All by the grace of God. Every ounce of it. So when Paul lists these 20 things, he's listing them and he's doing it. And he's like, look at all the stuff that happened to me. And then he says, I'm crazy for bringing this stuff up, like saying this is the big stuff. Do you know why Paul is in the position he's in? Because he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And I will tell you, as a Christian, as your brother in the Lord, not your pastor, your brother in the Lord, you and I, we've all had multiple encounters with the Lord. And every one of them has left a mark. And that mark is a more of Jesus change. We are more like Jesus. And we change into more like Jesus in every one of those encounters. Is every one of those encounters super happy, super exciting? You go to worship and it's so fabulous. You feel like you can dance on water. You just feel so great. No, look at Paul lists 20 different things and he's like going, none of those were good that he was listing. But he's trying to make the point. None of this is not the key. The key is he is finding his redemption, his strength, his life, his go-on-day-by-day attitude because of Jesus Christ. And I look at his list. I mean, I'm not unable to read. I look at his list and I think, I don't know. I don't know if I went through that if I'd still be saved. I don't know. I'm being honest. I'm not trying to be weird or anything. I'm like, if I was imprisoned, I think that wouldn't be the word. Facing death, whipped, beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, floating in the water. I'm not sure I'd be at the forefront of ministry after that. He is. All of it means nothing. Why? Because it's all for God. It's all for the kingdom of God. Everything that we go through. I love that Jeanette had that saying that we talked about yesterday and I read you. It's like every trial of pain has a very distinct purpose in the will of God. And you might be thinking, well, I don't like that. Tough. Every moment that you encounter the hurt is not something that's unaware to the Lord. He uses everything in our lives, everything you go through, everything I've gone through, everything we all go through collectively, and get this, everything we all may go through in the very near future, depending on what happens. I mean, who doesn't want the trumpet to blow and let us fly away and get out? I want it. You want it. Let's have it. That's what we want. But if the Lord tarries, then we need to be prepared to endure. The Bible says, occupy until he comes. So we keep moving forward. In all of that, it is our dependence and our encounter with Jesus that enables us to sustain. And nothing else matters. Every pain has a purpose to it, which God will use to bring about glory to his name, and you will grow and become more Christ-like, and he's doing it not just because he wants to, because it's all a part of his plan. And if it hurts for a little while, can't do anything but think of Joseph. If it hurts for a little while, sold by his brothers, falsely accused, jailed, all terrible, terrible life moments, all to save an entire nation. And he didn't have any idea. But God did. All of your pain for purpose. Every moment. Remember who you're dealing with. He spoke, and then there was the universe. Right? Wow. Wait till we get back to this other part. This is even more intense. But before we get there, we're going to slow it down and get into our trivia question. And then from there, I want to send you to the website because I have a big sign on the window that says website. Actually, it says site. Here you go. Which king blessed Abraham? Is it Darius, Melchizedek, or Saul? Which king blessed Abraham? Genesis 14, 18 through 19. That is your question. If you think you know, you are welcome to call us at 972-445-0770. You are also welcome to text 214-210-8483, or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So I'm going to send you up to the website because that is what I'm going to do. We'll take the caller after that because I've got to send you up to the website because I have a sign that says make sure you send them to the website. And here's the thing I want to tell you. First of all, thank you, everybody, for all your giving. How about we just start with that? Thanks. Thanks a trillion, bazillion, gazillion. I cannot express enough appreciation. We continue to move forward. We continue to have ups and downs in the financial realm. We're looking for help. We're looking for partners, and we appreciate it. It is deeply appreciated. On the website, though, there are some other new things. There's a new article regarding Christians and demons. Uh-oh. There's also a new hipper bumper sticker. That's all I'm going to say. Hipper bumper sticker on there. Plus, there's an opportunity to give, and then you can. There's tons of stuff to listen to or to watch or to check out. The Proverbs 3:9 is our verse for today. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. That's what the scripture commands us to do. So we encourage you to do that very thing. Check it out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is.
There you go. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. All right, we have somebody ready to answer the trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Ms. Robertson. All is well.
How are you?
Well, I'm walking by faith in the process of moving. I've had a lot of things going on, and I'm going to need prayer when I answer this question, trivia question.
Okay, so you're going to need prayer, right? So we're going to pray for you because you're in a move, right?
I like you to know the specifics. Yeah, I've been misused and abused on my labels as I paid on it. Things been broken, which I understand that. But right now, I'm doing it by myself. So Just pray for me, please.
You got it. You got it. Are you ready for the trivia, too? You think you can get the trivia question?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to set it up for you, and then you hit it out of the park. Let me set it up, and then you can give me the answer. Here we go. All right. Here we go. All right. Here it is. Trivia question. What king or which king blessed Abraham? Was it Darius, Melchizedek, or Saul?
Melchizedek.
That is correct, Elena. You're right. All right, let's pray over you. I want to pray over you for your moving for this situation. Let's do it right now. Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. We thank you and praise you. We just ask you just, Lord God, you got to help her. She's our sister. We're asking you to just pour yourself upon her. Let there be a peace, a presence, a confidence that she is not going to do this alone, that you're going to bring her help. Even right now, help is on the way in the name of Jesus, that you're going to help her get through this process. And Lord, give her all the strength, all the wisdom, all the insight, and all of the peace and calmness she needs to get this done and get the situation corrected. We're asking for your favor in her life to manifest. We ask for that in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, David.
Amen. God bless you. I hope all goes well. You reach back out to us to give us a praise report when the Lord answers, okay?
I sure will, David. God bless.
Bye-bye. All right. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's fun. Why is that fun? Because now we are in a journey with her. You are in a journey with her. We can do this together with her. And in doing that, we share in her victories. Don't you think that's just cool? I just think it's cool. Okay. All right. We got that covered. I want to make sure you understand this other thing because I didn't do this on purpose. I wanted to wait to this little end part right here. And this little end part that I'm going to talk to you about is this next verse, which I didn't read on purpose so that you can understand this. So I just gave you this entire list of all these things that Paul was going through. And he's like, wowza. Right? Lots of stuff, right? But I want you to see 2 Corinthians 11:28 teaches you how human these great men and women of God are. In verse 28, he says, apart from these external trials, I face daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is led into sin and I'm not burning with grief? Paul takes a moment after he goes through this discussion about, just think about this, about all these different things that has gone on in his life. And if you think about how this really breaks down, I mean, he understands he's having no success apart from the grace of God, period. He knows he's not having any success apart from Jesus Christ. He knows he's not doing any guidance on his own. This is the Holy Spirit that's helping them. And he's getting tossed and thrown and thrown and thrown. But he's not struggling just externally. Listen to me. He's struggling internally too. Remember, he's only making this comparison to show how useless it is for people to live by comparisons, okay? And that's what he mentions in chapter 10, verse 12. But Paul's honesty about relating to the burning of his britches on the internal stuff is incredible. He hates that the people of God are struggling. He loves the brethren. It's not that our lives are perfect, but other people's pain impacts us too. And he's telling them, apart from these external trials, I face daily pressures. Apart from the, that means that he's talking about what's going on the inside. Have you gone through a trial and the external and you just don't always think of it in terms of you're also going through it on the internal side of you? Well, I owe this bill. Okay, you owe that bill, okay? Or you're getting your people don't like it. Okay, people don't like it. But it also has an impact on your insides. And he's telling everybody, look, I just listed off 20 things, and they're all dramatic and intense, but guess what? I still go through it on the inside. And he's not even talking about his direct relationship to those things. He's talking about his other brothers and sisters going through the struggles, having a difficult time. Listen to what he says. He says, who is led into sin and I do not burn with grief? In other words, when Christians fall, it drives them crazy. It's so funny. You can often tell who's really in the faith and not, because when a Christian leader falls, when other Christians go, good, I'm glad they got, I'm glad they got caught, or I'm glad, it's like, that is the absolute wrong spirit. That's not the spirit of Jesus. The spirit that moves upon us, that communes and that connects us, is the spirit that grieves when one another has a problem. So we fight for one another. We pray for one another. We care for one another. We love one another. That's what Jesus wants from us. You have Mrs. Robinson just called in. You should be in prayer for her. And it should matter to you, because she's a sister in the Lord. That's why. So it's not just external, it's the internal. But Paul knows out of all this stuff, no way to survive one of these things outside of the grace of God, period. All right. If you're in San Diego, hang out with us, man. Go to HeMustIncrease.org. Listen, click on the Listen Live. If you're here in Dallas, don't go anywhere. We're going to take a short break and change it up for something different. Be back in a minute.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
The David Spoon Experience.
Philip shares the gospel. In that gospel presentation is a proclamation about baptism, no matter what anybody says. That's just the reality of this text. He gets baptized, and the Holy Spirit catches Philip away, and the eunuch never sees him again. Does he go away miraculously? You can't define it as an absolute, but it sure seems that way. Doesn't matter, because why? The text says he never saw him again. That's what the text says. God will use people in your lives for a moment to make a change in your life, and you will never see them or hear from them again. That's what you got to recognize. God will use you in people's lives for a one-time encounter that will make, that will accomplish that which the Lord desires to accomplish, that will do plant some form of seed that God has in mind, and that's the intent, and then you'll never see him again. You think, well, I don't know what the value of that was. That's why divine appointments are divine appointments and not human evaluations, because God uses the most unique circumstances, even one-time, one-and-done circumstances, to plant seeds in people's lives throughout their journey on the earth, to reach them and speak to them and to encourage them. You getting that? Sometimes God will bring somebody into your life, and it's just for a brief moment. And that's the purpose, and that's the intent. You don't fully understand, nor do I, nor does any human being, why the Lord has people cross paths the way he does. But remember, he is God. And so he knows what person needs to have what encounter at what juncture in their life. All of this is to say the Lord is the coordinator. It wasn't Philip. It wasn't the eunuch, so to speak. I mean, it was a strategic placement of a Christian in a position to reach a secretary of the treasury in Ethiopia to have a salvation opportunity. And nobody could ever predict that. But God set the whole thing up. And then he's done. And it's so amazing, because the scripture says he never saw Philip again. That's it. One and done. See you, buddy. God bless. And it was all part of the plan of God. Some people get saved in one church, and then they end up going to another church shortly thereafter, and that church is really instrumental in their growth, but not their decision. Totally normal. Nothing weird about that whatsoever. You're normal. It's normal. Because the Lord is in charge, and he's not asking anybody's permission.